Hey, good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you guys this morning. I'm excited to be here for several reasons. We get to share a few minutes about Asia, and then I'm just going to recap this kind of path for discipleship. And so we'll share a few minutes, then Lynn's will share about Thailand, and then Joe's will recap. Abiel wants to say a word for you this morning. So I taught him a few phrases, just a real quick comment here. Wo ting ba dong in Chinese means I hear but I don't understand, which is a helpful phrase to know if you know just a few words. And so Abiel was on the street and there's a Chinese guy talking to him like 100 miles an hour. And Abiel looks up and says, Wo ting ba dong. I don't know if the guy heard him or not, but it was like perfect word, perfect timing. Well, I just want to share real quick kind of just what we did in China, and then Crystal's going to share a few words or a few comments on stories or interactions we had with people. So we flew into Chengdu, China, which is a large city. It's the 30th largest city in the world. Chengdu has Han, Tibetan, a lot of Tibetan traders coming in there, and then some Chung people, but we traveled, after a couple of days, we traveled on to Wenchuan, which you see in the picture right now. Wenchuan is nestled in the mountains, as you can tell there. It's amazing how they build these cities, and the road to this city was just tunnel after tunnel, straight through the mountains. It felt like we were in tunnels so long, but just amazing. But anyway, Wenchuan here is kind of a capital city for the Chung people group. The Chung people are of Tibetan descent years and years ago, and there's about 325,000 of them, and this is one of the capital cities. And this is the, if you remember years ago here, 5 years ago, there was an earthquake that thousands of people were killed. This is the city that was the epicenter of that earthquake. And so you can imagine the mess and the chaos they had with thousands of people in this city. And then there's villages out around there. We went on to a village called Taoping from Wenchuan before traveling back to the city of Wenchuan, and then traveled back to Chengdu before we flew down to Thailand.
Just a couple stories about Chengdu, and many of you gave money for literature and for Bibles, and many of you prayed for those. And one of them went to a taxi driver. We were in Chengdu, and Scott was talking back and forth with the taxi driver as well as what you can. And before we got out, Scott paid the taxi driver and then handed him a Bible. And he seemed to be very grateful and accepting of that. So thank you for those of you who gave for that. And you can pray for that taxi driver. And also another significant contact that we had in Chengdu, we were trying to get to the Panda Reserve. And it's always a challenge to figure out how to get places, and even though maybe this was the way to get there 3 years ago, things have changed and it's not the way to get there now. And so this couple, a guy and his girlfriend, they were university students. They realized what we were trying to do, and they were trying to do the same thing, and they just were so helpful, just bent over backwards to help us and get us there, and ended up renting two vehicles for us. And they were in one and maybe three vehicles, actually. I can't remember right now. But then we went to the Panda Reserve, did our thing, and they had vehicles for us to go back. And we were also able to share the scripture with them as well. So that was really neat to be able to hang out with those Chinese people.
And so I just want to make a few comments further on the Chung people. Like I said, there's 325,000 of the Chung. There's some other kind of subgroups of the Chung. But they're unique people. They're their clothing is brightly colored. They like to accent their clothing. They have silk clothing. They have fur clothing. They live in the mountains. It's cold. And so you can just kind of get an idea there of that one picture with Abiel and that little guy. It's just what a more ethnically or ethnic setting looks like in a village. That's out in Taoping. But these people need Jesus. They live in the mountains. They irrigate the mountains. Most of them would be Tibetan Buddhists or just kind of subscribing to the greater Chinese religion of humanism or atheism. And so they need Jesus. There's a lot of need there. And so we were just overwhelmed in this need, and we prayer walked through these places. And so Please pray with us for the Chang people.
Another neat interaction we had was also in Chengdu with a girl named Annie and her friend. Annie's from Maryland. Her friend is from Germany. And they're both recent graduates that are living in Chengdu for at least a year at this point. If God calls them to stay, I'm sure that they will do that. And they have a lot of neat ministries going. But one of the things that they do is bring in children from the Tibetan areas and have Bible camps with them. And so these children are learning about Jesus, learning the gospel, accepting Christ. And it's just a really exciting way to be impacting these areas and communities. The Tibetan area is really difficult to get into, but these children are able to come out to Chengdu and are being impacted by the gospel. We were also able to leave a lot of literature with Annie and her company that they will be using to distribute as they see best. So that's another way to pray. And thank you again for giving in that way. One quick plug. Annie is there. We had the connection with her because she was on crew leadership with my nephew, who's at University of Maryland. So they went to university together here. And she is there because a representative came in to crew and said, we have opportunities. We know lots of ministries we can hook you up with. If you're interested, let us get you with a ministry that suits best for you. And so she's serving there for at least a year. So just wanted to say there are lots and lots of opportunities out there for people who would like experiences like this.
So Lynn and Jane, you can come up. I just want to make a comment. This Chung people group is less than 0.02 reached, which makes them very unreached. And so there's a lot of need there. Please pray for them.
Yeah, so after we spent a week in China in the cold, lots of neat experiences, but it was drastically different when we got to Thailand. We flew from Chengdu into Bangkok, spent a night there, which is a whole nother story. It was an exciting night. But then the next morning we flew to Mesot, and it was very warm. And it was a much, much smaller city. Bangkok's immense. Chengdu was pretty big. Bangkok's immense. And then we flew into Mesot. The population is said to be between 120,000 and 300,000, although it feels much smaller than that. I thought it seemed like very warm, friendly town almost. That didn't seem like it was that big of a city. Very diverse city culturally. Many, many different people living there. There are a lot of Burmese migrants, workers, as well as refugees that have fled across the border. Mesot is right on the border, within a couple of kilometers of the border with Myanmar, which used to be Burma. And so there have been many people that have fled because of severe persecution over the past decades. And the border is now open in the last 3 or 4 years. And so Mesot is growing rapidly as people are moving there because of the bridge. It's a very easy transition. What do you call it? Yeah, just a border crossing. Very easy to get in and out of the country there. So there are huge refugee camps around Mesot, primarily with Burmese people again. And there's a lot of work going on there. So there are a lot of NGOs working in the area from various countries and living there. There are many Muslims living there from Burma, Bangladesh, India, and Pakistan. So there's a very large quarter of Muslims in the city. Very distinct areas of the city are very separate. And there are a lot of Thais and a lot of Chinese people. And then there are also people from the hill tribes in the mountains surrounding Mesot. There are a lot of different hill tribes, and some of them are living there. So it's a really neat place to visit. The food is fantastic. And just really neat to be able to greet people on the streets. Lots of different languages being spoken, the Chinese and the Burmese and Thai. A lot of the signs were in all three languages, some in English, but primarily the other languages. And we found the people to be very friendly, very open, and just had a lot of neat contacts, just interacting with people. Children, even especially, as we walked around in the different neighborhoods. Lynn's going to share a little bit about that. And we had some neat experiences driving And I read last night, I thought it was kind of funny, it said driving is at best described as unconventional in Thailand. So, like Lynn likes to say, at worst it's considered dangerous. But so we did some driving on motorbikes. Joe and Lynn drove motorbikes with Naomi and I on the back, so that was kind of exciting. And we didn't have any mishaps, so we were very thankful for that.
Okay. One of the things that happens, well, I should say, in July of last year, Jan and I went to Asia for a couple of weeks and thought it was our last trip to Asia. And now we've been to Asia in January. So never say never. I think that was our last trip in January, but I don't know. One of the things that overwhelms you, and Scott alluded to this in his remarks, when you get into a place like this, and you're walking about, whether it's Chengdu, 30th largest city in the world, or Mesat, which is, you know, 150,000 to 180,000 people, you're walking around the streets with people who, for the most part, have never, ever, ever heard the name of Jesus. So when we talk about unreached people groups, the Chung people is one. In the Mesat area, there would be probably six or seven people groups that are in the same predicament as the Chung people are. Unfortunately, we did not have direct contact with any of those groups. Part of that was because one of our significant contacts was Dan Byler, who's the local RMM missionary there, had moved there 6 or 8 months ago, was getting ready to, I think that's Dan on the left, and Anan is next to the fat me. His business partner, his Thai business partner. That was a significant contact there. RMM had thought Dan would have a people group identified. Dan does not. So we need lots of prayer, whether our congregation adopts a people group or not, and also what group we go for. I would say that the visit or the trip was twofold. One was looking at these people groups, experiencing the culture there and everything. And the second reason was just out and outright support for the people that were already there. So you heard Crystal talk about Annie. I would talk about Dan. It's a lonely man, lonely missionary. And the contact that Joe and Jen and Naomi and I had with him was significant. Significant conversations we had. The owner of the resort we stayed at the first couple of nights, Joe and Naomi definitely engaged her. We had an experience with a Karen person when we went to Mawati, which is in Myanmar, just over the Friendship Bridge. That story we will share in a couple of weeks when we do the evening session. Primary activity, Scott already said, was prayer walking, claiming this territory for Jesus, for God Almighty. So you had Muslim sections of the city where that needed to be done. There was a Burmese section of the city we went into one evening, and Joe spent some money, and we had a lot of contacts with little kids there and whatnot. It was very neat. Joel said on January 1 that wisdom is seeing events from God's perspective. I would love to understand God's perspective on this this trip we just took. I think that the challenge for us as a congregation and as a missions team is to remain faithful and let God worry about the details. A ton of stories we could tell, but I think we'll do that in a couple of weeks. Thanks.
Thanks. It was a great trip. Thank you, all of you, for supporting financially and for praying for this. Mission has always been a part of Oakdale. A lot of our energy has been on local, inviting people locally to come to Jesus. But it's also always included overseas missions, and I think more so in this season now. And that, you can put that slide up of those scripture verses, and Naomi wants to talk about that.
Yes, it was an awesome trip. We had an awesome team to travel with, and Growing up, I always did love the verse John 3:16, but after coming back from this trip, I love the verse because it shows God's missional heart. We did a lot of prayer walking, and as we were prayer walking, we'd observe people. We'd observe people connecting with each other, and it was amazing to see the connection there without even speaking a word. But in Chinese, hello was ni ha, something like that, right? And when you would say that with a smile, and the response back was just delightful. And then, now I'm forgetting how to say it in Thai. Sawatika. And when you would say Sawatika, you would do this. And the smiles were amazing when you just said hello in their language. And at one point, some of the Chinese children said hello back to us. Guess who had a bigger smile? They surprised us with that. Because a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. This verse, let's say it all together. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And as I said, this verse took on a new level of meaning in my life. These were people that God created, that he loves, and they were beautiful, quite different, but beautiful and precious to him. And they need Jesus just like we do.
So we've often sang this song, if you've been at Oakdale for a while, let your glory fall on this place. Let it go forth from here. Let's say that again. Let it go forth from here to the nations. And that's the heart of God. Just the one verse here. Jesus said the gospel, the kingdom, preached to the whole world, to all the nations, all the people groups, and then he will return. So we are engaging in this work, and it's nothing new. We've been doing it. We have been supporting and will continue to support Phil and Meretta Barr in Spain. We've been sending short-termers, Brad and Tammy Garlitz, back there, Tammy Garlitz and Joe and Naomi here. We share this ache in our heart where we have, for Brad and Tammy, a daughter in Spain, and for us, a son in North Africa, that every day we miss them, we ache for them, but there's every day we carry this deep joy that our children are part of the work of God to make disciples of all nations. And we support Jeremiah and Angie in Kenya, and Dale and Rhoda make annual trips to Malawi to support the church there. So we are engaged globally. But we feel that God is leading us to more specifically adopt a people group. And we support Rosedale Missions. And there's a magazine and back on the missions table, Beacon. And there's just happens coincidentally to be the feature article is reaching the unreached are within our reach. So adopting, reaching the unreached people groups, people that do not have any gospel witness. So if you're interested, take that magazine and read it. So we don't have a next step to recommend as far as adopting a people group. We want to continue to discern and pray and really pray. And so Naomi, go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, there's three ways we're suggesting that you pray. That pray that none would perish, and pray specifically that God would direct our hearts to the unreached people groups that he wants us to adopt, Oakdale. And then pray to the Lord of Harvest to send forth workers that God would raise up from Oakdale more missionaries to go and make disciples to teach the gospel.
So pray for the Chung people. See that word up there, Kiwang or something? It's not Kiwang, it's Chung. That's how you pronounce Chung. Google it, read about them, learn about them, pray for them. And then the Burmese and Myanmar refugees, many different people groups, pray for them. Pray for Dan Byler, who thanked us over and over for coming. And then I was at Pastor's Conference last week, and the mission agency that know Dan, they several of them came up and said, thank you for going to Thailand. That just was so encouraging for Dan. And that was just really affirming for us because we loved connecting with them. So pray for them and pray that God will lead us to a people group. And also pray, and my prayer is that if you're here, whether you're 5 years old or 15 or 25 or 35, is God calling you to invest your life, to go spread the gospel to unreached people groups, to other parts of the world? Pay attention to that. And my prayer is that there's many more parents like the Garlitzes and the Beilers that will carry this ache in their heart. And this joy of sending our children across the world to carry the gospel. Thanks. Now, Scott, better known as Little Scotty for short, is going to be bringing the word.
Hey, thank you, Joe and Naomi. That little Scotty thing, I guess that makes sense because it's not really shorter than Scott, but hey, whatever. Yes. Oh, yes, that's good. Thank you, Lynn. Just picking up on this Asia thing before I dive into Scripture. March 12, I believe it is, Sunday, afternoon or evening, is it 6 o'clock? 6 o'clock here. We're going to be sharing in more depth about our time overseas, so you don't want to miss that. You want to put that on your calendar. Because we really want to kind of dive into this, if you know what I mean, dive in deeper. So this morning, though, I just want to share a little bit. So we've got some momentum going here. The last 3 weeks, we've been sharing about this, 3 or 4 weeks actually, we've been sharing about this simple path for discipleship. Worship, transform, and serve. And we've got momentum going here because Joe came and shared about worship, and then Joel on transformation, and then Joe again on service. And I just want to kind of wrap it up. Not that we're kind of ending this program, but we want to just build all of our ministry around Oakdale, around this kind of path for discipleship. And this is the core passage that we're building this off of. This isn't some fancy idea we got from a new book or something, but this is Scripture. Romans 12, 1, 2, and verse 6, therefore I urge you. Paul is desperately trying to communicate something important to us. This is an urgent message he has for us. Can you say urgent with me? Urgent. Paul says, therefore I urge you. Now I just have to tell you a little bit about how Paul does his letters to the churches. And this is a letter to the church in Rome, which is a happening the most civilized civilization at the moment of this time in history. And Paul, he spends the first 11 chapters building his theology, kind of building doctrine. And then he has a transitional phrase. In this case, it's therefore. And then he goes on to unpack kind of the practical implications of the doctrine he talked about in the first part of the book. In Ephesians, his transitional phrase at halftime, there after he builds his doctrine, is for this reason. And then in Colossians we have, since you've been raised with Christ. So this is Paul's doctrine, and then a transitional phrase, and then he unpacks what that looks like. And that's where we're at here. And there's a verse right before we get to this passage I just want to look at. It's kind of like the halftime show, if you know what I mean. We're just through football season, and there's a halftime show. And so Paul, the first half, he's building his doctrine, and then he has this doxology in the end of chapter 11 where he kind of gives us the purpose of all of our existence. And after he builds this, he says in verse 36 in chapter 11, for from him, speaking of Christ, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Just very succinct, very, very concise statement. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And that is the foundation that we bring to this passage then, which is where we have this path for discipleship. That to him, and through him, and for him, to him be the glory forever. Amen. And so we're created for His glory. And so this is an urgent message. This is actually the difference between life and death. This is the difference between heaven and hell. And the vision is that we worship, we mature as believers, and go out and make more disciples. And so we worship, we're transformed, and then we serve the world, which brings about more disciples. And this is the difference between life and death, heaven and hell. And I believe this morning, I believe that the single greatest cause in the world today is joyfully rescuing people from hell, making them glad in God, meeting the earthly needs, and doing it with a kind, sincere pleasure that makes Christ look like the treasure He is. And I like to add, because He's just that good. And so Christ, He's on this mission of making disciples. You might say, okay, so why do we want to make disciples? Well, it's because Jesus is all about making disciples. In His last words, after He came to earth, He did His 3 years of ministry and developed His and matured His disciples and stuff. He died on the cross to make a way for us to be made right with God. He rose from the dead, miraculously was victorious over the grave, and we also can be victorious through Him. And now He's giving His last lecture to His disciples in Matthew. He says in the Great Commission, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to go with you, He says. I'm going to be with you. And then in Acts, Luke says in Acts 1:8, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, or to the ends of the earth. In other words, to the nations all over the world. And I just want you to note the operative word here is go. Go into all the world. And as you go, make disciples. As you go to work, make disciples. As you stay in the community, as you go to the Little League practice or whatever, make disciples. Evangelize. And here at Oakdale, we got room for more people. We have room for more disciples here at Oakdale. And so we want to fill this place out. As we mature disciples, and then more disciples will come, and those will mature, and then we'll go out from here and make Jesus famous. And this is a mission, this is a vision, and a mission that needs everybody's buy-in. We need everybody to subscribe to this vision, because it's a task that can only be done if we're all on board, if we all just mature and engage as disciples, and we buy into the vision, and we go and make disciples. So we need your buy-in. I'm inviting you to join in worshiping, transforming, and being servants for our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so here at Oakdale, as the leaders, we have this vision, and we want to try to simplify the path for discipleship. If you Google discipleship, you'll get a bunch of books that come up. There's all sorts of different steps and programs, but we just want to declutter. It's not that we want to cheapen the discipleship process, but we want to declutter it. We don't want it to be like the picture there with the signs everywhere, but we want to make a clear path for you to grow as a disciple of Jesus. We're maturing disciples who make disciples. And this, we're doing it through these three sort of simple steps. We're programming all of our stuff here at Oakdale around these three steps: worship, transform, and service. And this comes from that text in Romans 12. And maturing disciples, we're growing disciples. It's up and to the right. We're going somewhere, and welcome on board. We want your help. We want you to come join us as we worship. Well, what is worship? Worship is glorifying Jesus with every decision, because that's what we're created to do. We bring glory to Jesus as we worship. And I think it's Isaiah 43 verse 7 that God says, you're created for my glory. And we already saw in that doxology, to him be the glory forever. We worship through psalm, like it says in Colossians. We worship through prayer, through almsgiving or giving of our financial blessings. We worship through reading and teaching of the scriptures. There's lots of ways we can worship. We also are called to transform and to grow in our likeness of Christ. But when we transform, we become more like Jesus. The brokenness that we have inherited from the Garden of Eden is kind of renewed. And it says in the passage, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what happens when we are transformed. In this process, we understand and obey God's word because it makes us better people and it makes us better at life. And here at Oakdale, we're working hard to create environments that will be conducive to that process so that you can grow in the knowledge of God, so that you can draw near to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're doing that in small groups. We're doing that in Bible classes that happen every service out the back. And we're doing that through just encouraging people and exhorting people to engage personally. We want you to kind of take this personal responsibility for your own personal maturity as a disciple of Christ. And so I like to think of it as grace-driven effort. It's not you just being super disciplined. You can read your Bible exactly 4 minutes a day or whatever. But just this grace, this partnership with Christ and His power in you, transforming. And Joel did a super job in talking about transformation. Basically, like, when you become a new thing, you're able to do more, you're able to do things that you couldn't do before you were transformed. And so we're broken as sinners, but as we become transformed into the likeness of Christ, we're able to do things that we weren't able to do before. And so we can serve like we never could before. We can serve with a pure heart. We can serve and therefore make more disciples. And so it's this beautiful picture of that comes full circle. And as we build momentum, as we pack this place out, we'll send people out to the nations and they'll be glorifying Jesus all over the world. In fact, I said this at first service, so I have to say it here too, but sometimes Christians can be like manure. If they stay, stick with me for a second. If they just sit on a pile, they stink, but if they go out, they do a lot of good. You can persecute me later for that if you want. But I didn't say this first service, so I'll say it this service, but we work hard to make classes and have good teachers back there. And I'm doing the first service video class. If you just go past, like, through the dividers, just out the door in this way, run into the wall and to the right. That's where the video class happens, first and second service. And I'll just tell you, next Sunday, I'm doing this video by Louis Giglio called Fruitcake and Ice Cream. And it's a really great talk, and I'm actually going to have ice cream there. So if that's not incentive, I'm not sure. But so come, first service didn't know about it, so you guys, you're welcome. We'll just push out the divider and fit you all in there. But no, there's a Bible class to the left, there's a video class to the right. I think Melissa Easton is teaching a women's class in second service next, like starting in March. And that'll be at the classroom down to the right. So please join us. Let's be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and so that we can then become servants or serve the world, because God has gifted us. We're using our gifts to serve the world. Why are we doing that? Because Jesus did. He came to not to be served, but to serve and give His life for us. And so we're trying to create opportunities for you to serve. Who knows, maybe next year we'll go to Asia again. I don't know, but mission trips, you can help with coffee, you can do snow removal, except this year that's not really doing that much. But there's lots of ways you can help, so please just, we're trying to get better at communicating how you can serve. So hang with us and just come approach us if you want to serve, and we'll try to become better at communicating those needs in the future. So just wrapping this up, I just want to bring us back to this urgent message that Paul says right after halftime. He says, therefore, I urge you. This is an urgent message. This is the difference between life and death. This is the difference between heaven and hell for people that God might want to use you to bring into the kingdom. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, because you've experienced God's mercies, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Entertain your mind with truth, praiseworthy things, righteous things, honorable things, pure things. Engage your mind in those things. And then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good and pleasing, His perfect will. Not before you're transformed. See, Joel said, you can't do stuff before you're transformed that you could, like, so you can't know what God's will is until you're transformed. It says it there in the text. Then you will know what God's good and perfect and pleasing will is. And then the last verse, just the service. What an opportunity to serve. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. And in the context there, I had more verses read this morning because I want to give us context. And that basically goes on and unpacks, say, hey, if you're gifted as a leader, go do it diligently. If you show mercy, do it. If you're a generous person, just give until you don't have anything else to give. Just use your gift diligently for the glory of God. And so the worship team can come up here as I wrap it up. I want to pray right after I just share this kind of single most important thing I believe that you can do with your life, and that is to mature as a disciple and go forth and make more disciples. And so the single greatest cause in the world today is joyfully rescuing people from hell, making them glad in God, meeting the earthly needs and doing it with a kind, sincere pleasure that makes Christ look like the treasure he is. So Jesus, this is our prayer. I pray that you would make this evident in our lives, that we would just continue to grow as disciples for you, Jesus, as followers of Jesus. Transform us by the renewing of our mind. Make us able to do things that we weren't able to do before through the power and through the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we can serve the world to the glory of Jesus and bring about more worshipers who mature as disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.